Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. Cloudwarmer has sent me the documents detailing is this the structure of Bankman-Fried? Yes, I think I saw this circulate on social media, the corporate structure of Samuel Bankman-Fried. I don't know how it's said. Yeah, very interesting. We will be talking about him. We'll do a early life check, just in case, and it's quite amazing. I didn't know about this guy at all, but so many warning signs, and Go Away says, this Bankman guy has Mossad written all over him. I wonder how close his Bahamas property was to Epstein's Island. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, at this point, I recognize a Mossad agent by just the curvature of their hair. I'm a race scientist, so I'm kind of very acute on this. But holy shit, there was so much warning signs about this guy. He bought an arena title. He bought an arena in the US. There's an arena called the FTX Arena for more than $100 million. This is the money of the investors, the money of the Bitcoin's havers. He took their deposit and he made all this spending. This was Samuel Bankman-Fried was the CEO of FTX, which crumbled, and all investors seem to have lost their money. So we'll be talking about his bankruptcy and what led him to this. Crazy Catman says, was busy restarting the app as it was screwed. Yeah, sorry, there was a bad start on Odyssey again tonight. Hopefully this will be fixed eventually. But before we jump into our subject, well, we have a couple of super chats and I will answer White's questions tonight because he sent me questions and he said if I perform well in my answer, he's going to send a super chat. He sent me these questions that ended up being fascinating to do the research on this. I had never thought about this, that when you start considering that people may be third cousin related in a reproductive population, the tree of life shrinks and it becomes smaller and smaller as you go into the past, that other than you would expect if people were totally unrelated. Cloudwarmer says, JF, I've watched the first season of The Peripheral, and the proposed future is dangerously underpopulated and overrepresented by androids masquerading to be the only non-mixed-race people. There are no East Asians and no whites. It was an okay show, but went downhill after episode 3. Well, I just saw up to episode 3, so I don't know how you can access the full season. I will go check if I can have it. But to me, the first 3 episodes seem to point towards something interesting, but we've been disappointed before. Westworld turned bad, so I expect at some point The Peripheral might turn bad. So No Utopia has sent a super chat during the night. $10. Thank you so much. He says, hey, JF. Do you have any advice on staying consistently productive and efficient? My life is very good, younger wife with good genes, soon babies, bought my first house last year and own a business, but I often struggle to maintain motivation in the minutiae of day-to-day life. Thanks and love the show. That is a very important question. And you have to understand, you may be becoming old. You seem to mention that you have a younger wife. So when you become old, it is important to medically care about yourself. I don't know exactly what age you are. If you're 25, 30, forget about it. You should be okay. But you don't. You can go see a doctor if you feel not okay. But if you're 35, 40... you're going to start needing some medication to keep you as sharp as you were when you were young. Unless you are extremely healthy and you are like cardio-wise, you are just as good as you when you were a teenager. If you're relatively unhealthy, You might need some medication. So think about it. There's different things that you should ask yourself. What is leading to your lack of motivation? Is it that you are depressive? Is it that you are anxious? Or is it none of this? Is it just that you are an unmotivated guy? There's various ways to deal with this. First, you need to restore your cardio health. The first counsel that the doctors would tell you is exercise. Exercise is good. If you can't do exercise or you don't want, you need to check if your blood pressure is good. Is your blood pressure within normal range? If it's not, take blood pressure reducers. They're very good. Is your heart racing too much? Could be because of anxiety or could be because you're just getting old and your heart is racing and you're not getting as much blood to your brain. If your heart is racing too much, you have tachycardia. Just count the number of heartbeats you have per minute. If it's above 100, you suffer from tachycardia. This will get you tired. It will get you exhausted and not motivated. Tachycardia, super easy to solve. You take a medication that reduces your heart rate. Metoprolol, wonderful. Propranolol, wonderful. If you suffer from anxiety that is more of a psychological nature, if you suffer from depression, for both of these, a single drug can do wonders. Duloxetine, a little high price, but available. Or you can go for lower price drugs if you want. Now, if you want to put this all on the side and you're not a guy of medications, then there are different paths for you. If you don't like medication and you don't like exercise, you can adopt the attitude that it's normal to have those, to be at the bottom of the barrel, to have this low motivation. But to keep you up, to keep you doing stuff, you impose yourself deadlines. Deadlines that will structure your life, and you don't let yourself miss a deadline. So much of my production, in a way, since the many years of the past, has been because I decided I would do a show every night. Doesn't matter if I'm not prepared, there will be a show. And I have to punish myself with a bad show if I don't have time to prepare or if I'm not motivated. That way you force yourself to have a product. And that may be one way you can perform better in your business. Force yourself to have a product and then feel the guilt if the product isn't as good as you wanted. And next time you'll force yourself better. So those are ways you can manage it. You can also just accept. I'm low motivation sometimes. And personally, I accept a lot of my procrastination. I just say, all right, you know, there are periods that are the most productive periods of my life, and then I fall for 3-4 months doing nothing. You know, during my PhD, I would play computer games all day, do nothing, and then I would suddenly produce. So sometimes it's like this, and if you set your life such that you can afford this luxury, it's also a good approach to not fight against it. If you need to fight against it, then either medication, deadlines, and organization will help you. If you are relatively old, you're going to need medication. I see people stubbornly, you know, saying, oh, I've never needed medication, and now I'm 70 years old, I'm not going to start taking medication. I'm sorry, you are an evolutionary being. You are basically in the process of dying if you're more than 30 years old, and slowly your body will crumble and have all sorts of dysfunction. All of them are relatively easy to resolve with medication, so I wouldn't hesitate personally if I were you. Now, none of this is medical advice. What I'm telling you is go check with your doctor. But you can bring good information to your doctor by self-checking. You can check your heart rate, check that it's below 100, stable below 100, not going above 100 5 times a day. Now, you can be above 100 if you run, if you go upstairs, if you make exercise, or if you're nervous in a specific situation. But it's not normal to be at rest and 100. It's not normal to have high blood pressure. Check this all out. All right. Some other super chats. Cloud Warmer says, JF, I've watched. Oh, okay. This one I read. He says, JF, we recently obtained some chickens and have been extending our vegetable, herb, and fruit gardens. I had never expected observing chickens to be so rewarding, despite being a lower order life form, quotation mark. They are such curious creatures, I cannot remember if you have chickens or not. I don't have chicken yet. I have a project where eventually I want to spend the summer building a building to host the chicken, but I'm not going to get chicken until I'm fully prepared, like with a whole system to care for them, to automatically feed them and water them. I'm not going to get chicken disorganized because I don't want to annoy neighbors. I don't want, not that we have super close neighbors, but I want it to be super organized so that it rolls already when it starts. And that might be still many years in the future before I get chicken. But I'm happy to see that you're extending your garden. Now, there was a question by White. He told me in private, hey, JF, question one. And his question two, I still haven't found good data to answer it. But I'm going to focus today on question one. JF, you have two parents, four grandparents, then 8, 16, 32, 64, etc. But if your parents are third cousins, then you have 30 instead of 32? What if everyone you're descended from was the product of third cousin marriage? How many family members would you have each generation going back 20 generations? I still haven't finished to 20 generations, but I just want to show you how I've made the calculations for this. It's quite fascinating. It's true that most populations, they are breeding within, and so they will have some degree of relatedness. So here's how I proceeded. So you have you have two parents, you have four grandparents, you have 8 great-grandparents, and then I focused on one of your great-grandparents. And I said, okay, suppose that this female is a third cousin of this female. What does it mean that they're third cousin? Well, so the number of ancestors that you have at n generations, that's 2 to the n. So that's why it's 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. For people who are third cousins, the number of ancestors is the same until one reaches the great-great-grandparent of the persons who are third cousins. Then the number of ancestors becomes 2 to the n minus 1. So if we say, okay, were third degree cousin, that means they had an ancestor 4 generations back that were the same. So we remove 1, that's where the minus 1 shows up. So if we were to look at 4 generations in the past of someone who's had of 2 people who share a common ancestor, you would do minus 1. But then the generations before that, since this ancestor is the same, it also means that its parents are the same. So for example, if you say, okay, your great-great-grandparents, one of them was the same person. Well, the parent of this great-great-grandparent, the two parents were the same. And his grandparents, the 4 grandparents, were the same. So you have to take this into account that this will grow as you go back in more generations. So for instance, 2 to the 5 equals 32. But if your parents were third-degree cousin, they shared a great-great-grandparent. So once you reach 2 to the 5, you'll need to subtract 1, which gives 31. But when you reach 2 to the 6, you'll need to subtract 2. When you reach 2 to the 7, you'll need to subtract 4. That is, far enough in the past, you have 2 to the n minus 2 to the n minus 5 for large enough n. That is, if you look far enough into the past. Now, I laid it out, if we look at it from the perspective of a parental generation. So starting at the parents here. 2 to the 5 minus 2 to the 0 equals 31. 2 to the 6 minus 2 to the 1 equals 62, 124, etc. Now, suppose that we don't look at it from the parental perspective, but we look at it from the grandparent perspective. Now you have 4 grandparents. What if this couple are third cousins and this couple are third cousins? Well, it's going to be the same equation. Instead of subtracting 1, however, you will subtract 2 times 1. So 2 to the 6 minus 2 times 1 equals 64 minus 2 equals 62. Same thing, you multiply the subtractor, you get 124. Same thing, you multiply the subtractor, you get 248. Now, there's a problem. When a population is interrelated, it's not just going to be the female that reproduce with the male were third cousin, and the female here that reproduce with the male were third cousins. It's going to be, not only are these people third cousins, but these people are third cousin. These people are third cousin. These people are third cousin. And these people are third cousin. Now, how do we take this into account? Well, we need to multiply, but we need to multiply by, if we want to take a hypothesis in which the number of third cousin relationships is all possible combinations. So if everyone is related in the ancestry tree at the third cousin level, we're not going to have to multiply by 2, but that is by the number of couple. We're going to have to multiply by the number of combos that you can make. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 combos are possible among 4 choices. What is this? What is the mathematics of this? It is called the binomial coefficient. The binomial coefficient tells you, out of a given number of people, how many pairs can you make out of it? It is given by the Pascal triangle, and as it turns out, the binomial coefficient of 4 is 6. So instead of multiplying by 2, we're going to have to multiply by 6. Now, that's if you take at the grandparent level, you start the generation 6 generations in the past, 2 to the 6, 6 minus 6 times 2 to the 0. That is 64 minus 6, you get 58, 116, 232. Now, I'm not fully done with this calculation because then I have to take into account, first, there is a growing binomial coefficient, and then I have to take it into account the multiple relationship between generations. So when I arrive at this generation, not only do I have to consider that they are the ancestors of this generation, they are also the ancestors of this generation. So, but to give you an idea of at least where the numbers lay right now, and it's incomplete, there will be further subtraction to be made. But at generation 1, there's one person. No matter if they are related, you still have 2 parents, you still have 4 grandparents, you still have 8 great-grandparents, but at the 5th generation, it starts going down. You have 16 great-great-grandparents, or you have 15. You have 32 or 31. You have 64 or 58. You have 128 or 116. 256 or 232. So it grows much slower, and eventually it gets more and more it gets more and more subtraction happening because the binomial coefficient is growing. Now I have to develop a method to take into account the multiple generations, and there's going to be a decreasing subtracting effect where 6 times 1, 5 times 1, 4 times 1 for the different generations. But I think it gives you an idea of where it hovers. I think it's going to be a little lower than this. So when I do the final calculation with all generational effects, it's going to be further subtraction, so a little lower than 232. But then there might be some addition also to further correct, because I'm going to have to take into account the fact that when two people on average have a great-grandparent, a great-great-grandparent together, I'm going to double count some of the subtraction, because sometimes it may be the case that the great-grandparent is not only a common ancestor of someone 5 generations down the line, but also of someone 3 generations down the line. So I'm going to have to take this into account if I want to give you your final answer over 20 generations. But that's what it looks like for now. Doubting Thomas says, this calculation of third cousins seems difficult to do by going backwards in generations. My intuition tells me it might be easier to go forward in generations. No matter the sense in which you do, anyways, you cannot really go forward. You don't know how many other children these people had, and it doesn't matter. The question is centered around an individual and how many ancestors he has. That must be the approach that I take. I wouldn't know how to do it in reverse. I wouldn't see the point. Cloud Warmer says, doubting Thomas, also, isn't there more females in your genetic lineage than males, due to less males having the opportunity to reproduce in the past? There is allegedly a lot of non-marital parental events. It would lend itself to suggesting that a given population might be more closely related. Well, yes, that is true, but it doesn't affect the calculation, because the calculation doesn't take the male-female question. It remains the case that you must have a female parent and a male parent. So it shouldn't affect the number there, I think. If you were to ask a specific question about how many male descendants you have, then you'd have to take this into account. How many male ancestors, sorry. Sargon of Akkad was publishing this on Gab, quite funny. You know the article, let's declare a pandemic amnesty. We need to forgive one another for what we did and said when we were in the dark about COVID, by Emily Oster. But he suggests an alternative. Let's declare pandemic retribution. There can be no tolerance toward maskers and vaxxers in a post-COVID social order. They will have to be physically separated and removed from society, by Hans Hermann Hoppe. That is quite funny, Sargon of Akkad. That is quite funny. Amazing work by policemen here defending a white woman that was about to be knifed, to be attacked by knife. I mean, look at the decision making here. I was quite impressed. This happened 5 days ago.
Hey, send more units!
Send more units! Get down!
Say no 13! Get down! Get down!
See? The guy was laying on the woman, on the white woman, and he had a knife. I didn't see any knife, but the policeman saw it. I mean, he could have been killing her if he just gave him a second. Look at this. And he succeeds at protecting the white woman while shooting the guy who was attacking her with a knife.
Shots fired!
Reloading the magazine.
Shots fired!
And now you can see he has a knife right here. This is, if you hesitate a second on this, she could have been dead. She could have been dead because this guy knows he's going to spend a lot of time in jail, so he doesn't care. He's going to knife her.
Send more units. Send more units. Sir, drop the knife! Drop the knife! Sir, drop the knife! Hey, back up! Back up! Sir, drop the knife! Hey, swing around! We need a crime scene. Hurry up. Get that! Hey, drop the knife! Drop the knife! Sir, drop the knife!
I think he's not a threat anymore, but, you know, the police has to vocally express what they want to happen because they have to act in a continuity with their mentality that this man was a threat to life. And so he's going to be continuing to ask, drop the knife. It's more of a display for the camera and for the other people so that they understand this guy didn't just go out there and just shot a random black man. This guy has a knife and everyone has to say it.
Drop the knife! Drop the... Don't move! Don't move! Ma'am, are you okay?
The lady says she is okay.
Don't move! Sir, don't move!
Yeah, it was an amazing number of shots. How is he still alive after all those shots? I don't think he's very much alive. I don't know. I haven't followed the story. But it takes courage to be these policemen, and with all the judgment that is made about white policemen, and yet they have to do this. I want to live in a society where if my daughter is getting attacked like this, I want someone to have the courage to shoot the guy, because a couple of seconds and she was dead. Kanye West has been interviewed on the streets, as is the usual case right now.
It's scary. They can't control you. They can't. They try to suppress you, but that's how they try to categorize.
They can't control me. You get what I'm saying? They can control Shaq. They can control Charles Barkley. They can control LeBron James. They can control Jay-Z and Beyonce.
But not you, man.
But they can't control me. Not you see, it ain't no name I won't name. It's up.
Not you.
You know what I'm saying? And just for Minister Farrakhan, I love you, but the way you read that, I took that as a slight. You know what I'm saying? I'm taking no disrespect from nobody, so let's get on the phone and let's talk that out. I don't care who you are. I ain't taking no slights from nobody, right? I ain't taking no slights from nobody. It's God. That's the only person that I serve. My mom ain't here. My mama was sacrificed.
Me too.
You understand?
Yeah. Appreciate you.
Michael Jordan. What about him? His daddy, right? Bill Cosby, his son, right? Dr. Dre, his son. You know, out in Hollywood, a lot of people come up missing. Feels like it might be a lot of that in order to control, traumatize. They want to monetize and traumatize. And God loved me. You understand? They hit me. Gap. Adidas, all that away. Still, Forbes, who hate me, right, had to write net worth $400 million. Jesus is king. God loved me.
That's more important than keeping alive.
That's the thing. You know what I'm saying? And this truth is gonna be heard. Y'all can't send none of y'all Meek Mills, y'all Puffies, y'all Lil Boozy, none of these names, none of these people that have to listen to y'all because they're dealing, they have legal. I never killed nobody, right? I'm the pussy that never killed nobody, right? But that means I can say whatever I want and not go to jail.
He is suggesting that Puff Daddy would have killed someone. I think it's what he's saying. I don't know about these rapper things. When I was a teenager, I may have known about this. At some point, a guy named Notorious B.I.G. died. Some other rappers died, but Kanye is saying, because I never killed someone, I won't ever go to jail, so they have nothing on me. So he's referring to extortionist culture being omnipresent in the Hollywood / music industry. Very interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, I asked for it, and it happened. Yoel Roth is fired from Twitter. Twitter exec who wrote a 300-page dissertation praising gay hookup culture leaves Twitter. Yoel Roth likened Trump supporters to Nazis and pushed a variety of dangerous far-left narratives. Yes, Yoel Roth, the head of Twitter safety, is gone. That is an amazing progress. And here he is saying, I'm just saying, we fly over those states that voted for a racist tangerine for a reason. Somehow suggesting some kind of leftist terrorism that planes could fall onto Republican states as an attack against their voting for Donald Trump. What a sick person, the person who was banning us, the person who was probably with the end of on the button banning people like me. I'm glad that Yoel Roth is gone, and this is an early indication that there is a movement away from the ADL interest. I am hopeful, although not fully certain, but I pray and I hope that Elon Musk is preparing a system for reincorporating accounts to Twitter, and that this is a first sign that the ADL will be pissed about it. This is a first sign that there will be no more canceling from Twitter. Aquanote says, JF, you're misreading Roth's tweet. He's referring to flyover states being boring / unlikable because he perceives conservatism to be boring / unlikable / backwards. Okay, maybe it is the case. That sounds weird to me. I'll tell you, if I was in charge of the anti-Twitter terroristic force, I might have considered giving him a one-day suspension for this tweet, because I read something else in it. Five facts you should know about Sam Bankman-Fried. Let's talk about this man. What an amazing guy. He is the son of Barbara Fried. He is the son of two well-connected Democrat academics. Someone was pointing out Joe Biden announced on April 25 his presidential campaign. 13 days later, Sam Bankman-Fried, son of Barbara Fried, the co-founder of the political fundraising organization Mind the Gap and Get Out the Vote organizations, including the Center for Voter Information, launches the FTX crypto exchange. So 13 days after the Joe Biden presidential campaign, he launches the crypto exchange. The exchange is an overnight success that enables Sam to become the second biggest donor to the Biden campaign. Ms. Fried launched totally grassroots Democrat PAC in July 2018, wonders how she's going to raise enough funds to make a difference. Son coincidentally becomes a multi-billionaire a few months later. Sometimes things just have a way of working themselves out, I guess. Very important facts here. This guy was spending on sending all of this money that people were putting their Bitcoin on FTX. He was sending funds to leftist causes, extremist leftist causes in America, kind of vote democratization, election fortification activities. He was part of the force that was drawing energy from the internet, from a legitimate internet movement, which is cryptocurrency, but he was redirecting it toward the Normiplex and the Democrat networks of dark money. He may have been an active player in getting Joe Biden elected. He may have a causal role in why Joe Biden has been elected. Now, Bankman-Fried got his start on Wall Street before going all in on crypto. Basically, this guy was late in the crypto world. CZ from Binance has always been the best in the crypto world since way before this guy got even interested. So they tried having their little MIT diploma having guy, their little Wall Street guy, create a fake and pale copy of CZ from Binance. They tried creating a success story of a man who left Wall Street and became a trader and eventually started his own trading platform, but was deeply rooted within the classic academia and economic networks of Wall Street. After graduating from MIT in 2014, with a degree in physics and a minor in math, he works at Jane Street Capital, starts doing arbitrage trading, eventually funds a crypto venture, Alameda Research, a quantitative trading firm. One of the things he was doing is he was benefiting from the price difference of Bitcoin in the Asian world versus the US, and he was having bank accounts, so he was buying at lower price, selling at higher price because Bitcoin had not been quite accessible in Asia as much as it should have been. So that's arbitrage trading. His interest in politics doesn't stop at crypto regulation. So he contributed over $5.2 million to Joe Biden's presidential campaign and helping to bankroll the Protect Our Future Super PAC. Aside from monetary donations, Bankman-Fried has testified before Congress about the state of crypto regulation twice in the last 3 months. It's important to note that FTX, which is based in the Bahamas, makes most of its profits abroad. It has a separate limited marketplace set up for the United States that doesn't allow traders to access certain trading pairs and instruments. So this guy was counseling the US on legislation while being a big fraud himself. Bankman-Fried has made a splash in the sports world too. It's not just Super Bowl ad. So this guy bought Super Bowl ads for FTX. And the theme of the ad is that there's a guy who says, FTX will not work. I'm always right about these things. Bitcoin is not gonna work. And apparently the other part of this ad was this guy was saying, you know, the wheel will not work and a sliced bread will not work. And he was always wrong. And then this part of the ad shows up.
And it's FTX. It's a safe and easy way to get into crypto.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I'm never wrong about this stuff. Never.
A Super Bowl ad. You shouldn't be able to afford a Super Bowl ad if you are seriously within the crypto space. You should never want to send money to the Normiplex by funding the Super Bowl. He was trying to expand. He was trying to... And amazingly, this Larry guy, through the joke of his ad, actually predicted that FTX wouldn't work. Well, it didn't work. So, after American Airlines decided not to renew their naming rights to the American Airlines Arena in Miami, the home of the Miami Heat, FTX snapped them up for $135 million. So spending money on Super Bowl ads, spending money on having an arena in Miami named into the FTX arena. Here it is. I didn't know about this at all. The FTX arena. Wow. I had never heard of this cryptocurrency exchange, and they had an arena. That is how disconnected I am from this culture. Bankman-Fried had commented on the $135 million purchase. I'm super excited for that. This was the first instance of a crypto company buying the naming rights to a major stadium. The deal was later followed by Crypto.com's renaming of LA's Staples Center, now known as the Crypto.com Arena, for which the company paid a reported $700 million. We have FTX platform users, DK Shadow and FD seem to know about it. Well, yesterday I asked if anyone lost money in the FTX fall. I don't know. I've never seen this platform. Never heard about it. Bankman-Fried considers himself an effective altruist. So those are people who like donating to humanitarian cause, but they have this little thing about them that they like the humanitarian cause to be efficient in their, so they have measures of efficiency of non-profits. Of course, by definition, a non-profit is inefficient because it tries to do something that wouldn't be done naturally by the free market. What's the best way to do good? That's the question effective altruists ask themselves, often examining hard and randomized control trials in order to maximize their charitable contributions. Bankman-Fried exemplifies the earn-to-give model of effective altruism. He has given away $50 to $100 million to various causes, and FTX donates 1% of all fees collected by the platform. Well, apparently they were also donating some of the money, not just the fees. Maybe they made an error. They gave everything. Bankman-Fried's biggest challenge launching FTX wasn't building it or raising capital. Bankman-Fried had previously worked in proprietary trading firms that barely interfaced with the public. He told us that raising the money to start FTX wasn't a problem, nor was building the product. Rather, it was marketing the product to its consumers, namely crypto traders, that presented the most significant hurdle. His solution, going user by user to figure out how to improve the platform and hoping that its reputation as a better trading platform would spread organically. Sam Bankman-Fried's variety of effective altruism is a bugman one. He seems to care more about normie causes like left-wing politics than more esoteric causes like AI safety and qualia research. Absolutely. The total waste of money. This network of money is meant for leftists and liberals and Israeli agents to acquire more power in the US. So early life and education. Bankman-Fried was born in 1992 on the campus of Stanford into a family of academics. Born and raised to a upper middle class Jewish family in California, he is the son of Barbara Fried and Joseph Bankman, both professors at Stanford Law School. His aunt, Linda Fried is the current dean of Columbia University Mailman School of Public Health. He attended Canada/USA Math Camp, a summer program for mathematically talented high school students. He attended high school at Crystal Springs Uplands School in Hillsboro. All this to say, I believe this guy has been dipping in privilege, and exactly the kind of privilege that Kanye has been calling out recently. The same structured privilege that has led to similar abuse in Bernard Madoff. This kind of networking and people expecting you to succeed. I think it's ultimately good that people get punished to have elevated this guy. I think people should learn their lesson. And I'm sympathetic if anyone in my community has been hurt by this bankruptcy. But ultimately, you have to pay the price when you engage in a self-elevating, self-marketing, self-puffing of nothingness that this guy has engaged in. And people keep talking about the technical aspects of, oh, there was not enough liquidity. I think it's much darker than this, what happened. I believe that people's money has been redirected toward leftist causes. And of course, personal enrichment for probably a bunch of individuals around this guy. This is much worse than just a technical error. People are saying, oh, well, it's a technical error. He miscalculated his degree of leverage. And this looks like, to me, this guy has been sending hundreds of millions to friends and to a network of people who may even eventually pay him back, who have not been scammed at all in this whole affair. In fact, they are the scammers. I hope that further investigation happens with this guy, because I don't think it should be addressed as a simple technical case of a mathematical error. I believe that what happened here is a political fraud of the kind that repeatedly happens in this kind of network. Rodad says, FTX had a plan to attract normies, then burn them to give them fear of non-government-controlled blockchain. Brother, I don't trust blockchain. You need a CBDC. Lol. Exactly. It is extremely suspicious how this guy comes to tarnish a community that, without him, was doing pretty well. And I'm sure that his example will be always what politicians go back to justify further legislation that will then handicap the workings of people that are honest, like CZ. Frog Eyes says possible psyop. Definitely. I mean, this guy was all over these political meetings about legislation and regulating the crypto market. Ultimately, this guy, it may be one of these whistleblowers, these fake whistleblowers of the Democrat that are only interested in further legislation, and he gave them a golden cow to go forward with. Naberius says, engineered FUD. Absolutely. There was no problem in the crypto community if FTX didn't fall this week. But I had said it, a bear market is an opportunity during which the drop of value forces the losers out. And we're seeing it again and again. Deadstar says, who is CZ? The only CZ I know is the gun company. CZ is Changpeng Zhao, the leader of Binance. Always has been honest, always has been delivering the service. Binance has been reliable to me. Frog Eyes says, but I saw a thread on 4chan following about $100 million in Democrat money possibly getting laundered through FTX for use in their campaign. Yeah, I'm very worried that what hiding behind this bankruptcy is massive, massive manipulations of money in a very illegal sense. Are we going to get an investigation given how this person self-identifies? Will it raise some political objections? FTX tapped into customer accounts to fund risky bets, setting up its downfall. FTX chief executive Sam Bankman-Fried told an investor this week that Alameda owes FTX about $10 billion. Alameda, so his firm, owes FTX $10 billion. So FTX took money, $10 billion, gave it to Alameda, the private betting betting company of Sam Bankman-Fried. Where was this $10 billion coming from? It must have been user funds in some form. So this guy has taken the money of people and has made bets, and he lost on his bets with the money of people without telling them that he was using their money. Crypto exchange FTX lent billions of dollars worth of customer assets to fund risky bets by its affiliated trading firm Alameda Research, setting the stage for the exchange implosion. A person familiar with the matter said, FTX chief executive Sam Bankman-Fried told an investor this week that Alameda owes FTX about $10 billion. The person said, FTX extended loans to Alameda using money that customers had deposited on the exchange for trading purposes, a decision that Mr. Bankman-Fried described as a poor judgment call, according to the person. All in all, FTX had $16 billion in customer assets, according to the person, so FTX lent more than half of its customer funds to its sister company, Alameda. Half of the customer funds were a play tool for this guy, so that he can play on the market, get engaged in leverage position, and lose the money of other people. Holy shit, this looks bad. I can't believe this happened. Go away, says JF. Will Bankman receive criminal charges? When I look at this, this deserves criminal charges. This is self-loaning. It's fraudulent self-loaning from the accounts of customers to whom you have not properly informed them that their money was at risk under your control. So as far as I'm concerned, this deserves criminal charges, but I mean, he may never enter the U.S. again. Who knows? I don't know. Would he come back to the U.S.? Could he get arrested in another country? This is the complication. Frog Eyes says, yes, $10 billion hole is what I heard is missing. But this guy took $10 billion from his users. He bet on the market, and the market went the other way. $10 billion erased. But it wasn't his. Bill Ackman, also the tribe is coming at his defense. You know, he's a good guy. He's a good guy who made an error. Bill Ackman tweets, then hurriedly deletes, prays for Sam Bankman-Fried after FTX blowup. You have to give Sam Bankman-Fried credit for his accountability here. I don't know any of the facts, but I have never before seen a CEO take responsibility as he does here. It reflects well on him and the possibility of a more favorable outcome for FTX official. Holy shit. That's his congratulation for saying, I'm sorry, I fucked up and should have done better. The problem is, when you come up with the I'm sorry, you can be sorry for an error, but if you committed a crime, and if you committed highly unethical actions, being sorry is not enough. The first is, you have to explain to us you're sorry for what. You seem to be sorry, based on this tweet, for an error, but you didn't commit an error. You played with people's money, and you redirected it toward the worst societally destructive causes possible. Cloud Warmer says, from corporate non-compliance to personal acts of negligence, CEOs can face personal liability in a number of different circumstances. Absolutely. And there's at least 20 ways through which they could make an argument that a crime was committed. Either marketing deception to his users, either negligence in what he was doing with the money, negligence in not informing them, and there's all sorts of violation also of his own obligation as a CEO to be holding a company that is healthy for his own investors. So I'm sure that there could be criminal prosecution. but it boils down to, are the prosecutors so biased in America that they won't look at it? Or is he so able to travel internationally that they're never going to catch him? Mark D's channel sends $20. Thank you so much. He says, salut Jeff. Thanks for the show. I, for one, prefer to invest in a good known value, Papa Jeff. Exactly. You don't get a return on your money exactly with Papa Jeff, but you get this natural service going back to you. And you know I will be producing a show with your money. You see it every day, so you can be sure you get what you pay for. Troubled crypto boss Sam Bankman-Fried, who lost $15 billion in a week, funneled millions to Dems' far-left causes. Bankman-Fried, now estimated to have no material wealth, recently emerged as one of Democrats' largest financial backer. The now bankrupt founder of crypto exchange FTX is a prolific donor of Democratic candidates and liberal causes, and infused at least $38 million into left-wing groups during the 2022 election cycle. Bankman-Fried was the second largest contributor to Democratic-affiliated political action committees and organizations, behind only liberal financial magnate George Soros. This is George Soros number two, ladies and gentlemen. George Soros number two. Is as toxic as George Soros. It's a good thing that he fell quicker than George Soros, but he fell with the money of other people. That is what's so dramatic about it. The money of a bunch of normies was sent into the sick Democrat system of hit pieces, journalism, and political aggression. At least George Soros does it with his money, you know. The list of capital ventures that were involved in FTX, their money is now gone. Inside Venture, BlackRock, Lux Capital, Ontario Teachers Pension Plan, C Capital, Alan Howard, Paul Tudor Jones II, Senior Investment Group, Sino Global Capital, Van Eck Associate Corp, Tom Brady. Binance Labs had a small investment in some of their venture, but this whole crash of FTX actually happened on Binance Labs announcing that they were getting out of it 2 weeks ago and starting slowly to drop their FTX the FTT, I believe that's their crypto, FTT or something like this. So Binance had a lot of FTT that they had gotten as part of their their initial investment in the development of FTX. But they have withdrawn the first, and in fact, through their withdrawal, they have led to a set of consequences that have led to the crashing of FTX in full. Galois Capital, Alpha Fund, Abstract Ventures, Race Capital, Robot Ventures. That sounds dangerous. So all of these big companies scammed by Bankman-Fried. Binance blasts rogue actor Bankman-Fried as FTX files for bankruptcy. This is the direct result of a rogue actor breaking every single basic rule of fiscal responsibility, while the rest of the industry operates under an extreme measure of scrutiny. The cult of personality shrouding FTX allowed them a dangerous level of privilege that wasn't heard. That wasn't earned. This is quite fascinating. Is Binance becoming woke? Because what they are saying here is that we had a guy who was overly connected, who came to ruin what was better handled by people who are big. People like CZ from Binance is a big guy, extremely rich. But they don't come from the milieu of academics and Wall Street, they came at it from loving crypto to begin with. Aquanote says, perhaps was looking to get acquired by Binance to make his Ponzi solvent by concealing their wrongdoings. It's absolutely possible. But CZ has now done his due diligence and has indicated he will not be buying FTX. So FTX is going down. Mario says, Sam is just the tip. It is indeed. When you see the effect of the kind of network of people that Sam is part of, was part of at least, it includes the control of American politics, the control of geopolitics, the control of public opinion, the control of military interventions of the US in foreign countries, the imposition of the American empire's priors into the Ukraine war, into the Middle East, onto Europe. It is a cartel of economic control that is absolutely sick, toxic for the world, and that we must combat at every turn. That I have been convinced of this since the very beginning of my career, and I am still standing for combating it. Too bad that people were scammed, but people have to learn to develop an alternate ethical and moral economy. And we won't get it with the Sam Bankman-Fried of this world. And I made a little play of word in the title tonight. I said story of a fried Bankman, because this guy is getting fried, but there should be 100 like him. This guy is getting crucified in a way that will leave the network of sickness behind him totally unaffected. And I'd rather go after the whole network rather than just the tip of the iceberg, see? So that's it. I didn't know about this guy, and I just read about him today. I knew nothing about this guy, and somehow my life was better not knowing about this disgusting individual. A day of chaos brings Twitter closer to the brink. 2 weeks after Elon Musk completed his acquisition of Twitter, the future of the company has never looked less certain. So the leftists are aware that giving trouble to Elon Musk now, they are talking about Twitter bankruptcy. They say that Elon Musk said to his employees that bankruptcy is not out of the question. I'm like, holy shit, you buy a company for $44 billion and you're thinking about bankruptcy 1 month in. They are talking about the FTC obligation. Apparently, Twitter had an obligation to report any change, any major change to its management to the FTC. CNN is speculating that Musk may not have reported, but the FTC has not indicated that they are out of compliance. So I think it's a little bit of wishful thinking on CNN's part to think, oh, you know, the FTC is going to come and put some stops to Elon's wheel. For now, they speculate in this article, Musk Twitter may have already violated its latest FTC consent order, legal experts say. But when you dig into the article, you realize, oh, but Twitter has told us nothing, and a personal lawyer of Elon Musk told us that they were in compliance with the FTC, and the FTC has indicated nothing. So it looks like a non-story that CNN is trying to blow up. Even yesterday, I was worried because I was like, I don't want the FTC to go after Elon Musk. But now that I read the details in this article, I don't think there's anything there. All that Elon has to do is to inform the FTC, hey, there's a new management at Twitter. Rodi Lucid says, well, maybe he could file for bankruptcy to get rid of some bad debts, maybe so he can restructure Twitter's finances, etc. Well, yeah, but I mean, you just spent $44 billion for something. to have it in bankruptcy is basically to lose control of it potentially, because okay, you're going to get restructuring. What is going to be the restructuring? It's going to be people asking for control in exchange of money. And you lose it again. And it never ends. We have the richest guy on earth. And it never ends. Holy shit, can we just have a platform where we can speak like Gab? DK Shadow says, how much debt liability is Twitter under? I would have to check these details. I know it's enormous. And I know that they're losing hundreds of millions of dollars per year, I think. It's ridiculous. Elon Musk really has to slash through. Now, good news, we hear that a Twitter manager has been vomiting into the trash can after being told by Elon Musk to fire people. That is wonderful, because on top of the human suffering of being fired, you also get the vomit of the guy who's not fired, but the guy who has to tell the other people that they're fired. The New York Times devoted 8 reporters and almost 2,600 words to investigating Musk's first few weeks at Twitter. One engineering manager was approached by Mr. Musk's as advisor, or goons, as Twitter employees called them, with a list of hundreds of people he had to let go. He vomited into a trash can near his feet. The fallout has often been excruciating, according to 36 current and former Twitter employees and people close to the company, as well as internal documents and workplace logs. Regarding potential layoffs, Conjure, Isaac, Mac, and Sue noted that the tech executive refused to factor diversity and inclusion into his actions. Twitter executives also suggested assessing the list for diversity and inclusion issues so that the cuts would not hit people of color disproportionately and to avoid legal trouble. Mr. Musk's team brushed aside the suggestion, two people said. And this is what is so beautiful about Elon Musk. He has a history of not caring about this diversity, inclusiveness, and equity. And I think it's beautiful. He's been sued by black employees for instances of racism. And I think it shows that Elon Musk will not let himself be extorted by this club. And that's beautiful. He's certainly on the right track. I want him to succeed. I've been paying my Twitter Blue subscription, even if I'm banned. I'm paying a Twitter Blue subscription right now under an account that I cannot use because the account is banned. But somehow I had the opportunity to enter my credit card details. So I'm encouraging Elon. I want us to go quick to the moment where I will get him unbanned. I hope that my $8 or $6 right now that he takes, I think, I hope that it helps to restart this company, get rid of the Yoel Roths of this world, and move forward like it used to be. Journalist erupt on Elon Musk for saying that the media elite is preventing Twitter from elevating citizen journalism. But that's exactly what's happening. Why would you erupt? Why would you erupt against such an obvious statement? The media elite has been building a cartel on the internet that has made it impossible for young, creative, independent creators to grow. It used to be super easy. You started a YouTube channel, and if you were somewhat intelligent, you had a Twitter account, people would join you, and you had subscribers. This doesn't exist anymore. We have Twitter pushing out those paywall, Washington Post, and other types of article in its Twitter trend. Everything is controlled. It's like cable TV at this point. We saw what you did. And so Elon Musk is calling it out, and he's totally right. More competition to mainstream media will increase their accuracy, Musk claimed. Absolutely. That's what we were about to cause back in 2017. but they cut the grass under our feet. But the media was seriously starting to consider, we're going to have to study how Mark Dice does, how JF does, how Warsky Live does, because how Tim Pool does, because we're losing our basis. We have no more clientele. Instead of doing the work of self-improvement, what did they do? They bought Twitter, they bought YouTube, and they bought themselves a place at the top. Elon Musk is about to reorder this all. He says, as Twitter pursues the goal of innovating citizen journalism, media elite will try everything to stop that from happening. Elon knows. He knows. And I'm glad that he understands. And I don't know if he knows to what extent they will pull everything on him. I mean, everything. They will dump the most hateful campaign against you, Elon, and you must have the balls to continue straight, based on your principle, ignoring the attacks. Difficult times ahead. Musk says Twitter bankruptcy is possible as FTC expresses deep concern. Twitter boss Elon Musk told employees at a recent all-hands meeting that the company is losing so much money that bankruptcy is not out of the question. Musk also suggested during the meeting that the company's future depends on the success of the revamped $8 per month Twitter Blue subscription service. Elon, I'm paying the service. Unban me, please. I'm totally with you here. Wall Street banks have lent Musk $13 billion to fund his buyout. They have been quietly approaching hedge funds to see if they would be interested in chunks of buyout debt at deeply discounted prices, as low as 60 cents on the dollar, which would mark one of the deepest discounts in a decade. What? People, they are thinking Twitter will crash so much that they just paid $1, but they would be willing to get rid of their debt for 60 cents a dollar? That's like 60% confidence that you're going to get your money back, I guess. You could frame it that way. Holy shit. Why would you make that decision 3 months ago and suddenly everything changes? What is that? John Drake says, analysts estimate that Twitter's interest burden will increase to $845 million annually from $51 million in 2021. That is more than half of the company's adjusted annual earnings of $1.4 billion in 2021. Are you kidding me? That is a sudden rise. What's happening? Have they fucked Elon in the ass basically by getting debt to an extent that he so that they would crash Twitter like a time bomb, if you will, an interest time bomb? Is that what they pulled? Yeah, John Drake, how does it jump from 51 to 850? That would mean they have suddenly taken all sorts of loans or they have taken post-dated loans that would trigger their interest rate later. I don't know. Aquanote says, JF, reportedly there would be an official tag added to Twitter accounts deemed legitimate to deter bots. It's likely this status that will replace the blue check mark. Are you kidding me? If that's true, Elon Musk is just creating another blue check mark. He had said that the peasants, the kings and peasants system had to be undermined. Elon, I expect that you will undermine it. Don't you create a red check mark and tell me, well, it's not the blue check mark anymore. It's the red check mark now. It's going to lead to the exact same crap that the blue check mark has led. You are creating an elitist Twitter, and it sucks. I hope he doesn't do this. All right, what else do we have? Average mayor in Michigan.
The hearing of the public is now open. You're not going to sit here and assault me, lady I never met. Don't call my name because...
You have not been assaulted, you fool.
I don't know what book you're reading, and I don't care.
This is a mayor. I don't know what book you're reading, and I don't care. And stop assaulting me with your eyes.
Okay, you know...
Well, maybe you should read books about what assault is. They can't assault you because they don't touch you.
What? I'm gonna stop you right there, or we're gonna stop the council meeting.
Here, you gotta let her speak.
This is a personal matter. It's not about criticizing. You can criticize my policy. You stop it.
Let the people talk.
You stop it.
You are out of line.
You are out of line.
You're out of
point of order. You're out of line. Now, do you want to stand there and talk about your cats and your dogs in the community, but you won't talk about me?
Now we have, these people are mayors. They are the future judges and astronauts. You think you're going to get justice? You think you're going to get science? You think you're going to get traveling to the moon? Are you kidding me? You can't even get just a basic respect by a mayor. It sounds like idiocracy, Dino Legovich. That's exactly how it sounds. Supreme Court's Sotomayor denies NYC workers' bid to halt the vax mandate. This woman is always there to fuck up individual rights for leftist causes, and the vaccine is now an official leftist cause. Death of the American dream and home ownership. Home historically have served as the primary store of value and wealth creation for most Americans. But at this point, it's becoming unaffordable. Absolute sadness, because that is very important. People like me, we could have never risen to any sort of wealth, the kind of family I come from. All the wealth we have is that we have a house. And that's almost true for me also, although I do benefit from the privilege of goodwill, of being an internet celebrity. But other than this, I don't own much things. My parents are well off because they have a house. My brothers are well off because they have houses. And I'm doing good because I have a house. If the young generation rise and comes to a world that expects them to be eternal renters, then they're going to get squeezed like lemons. They're never going to accumulate anything. That is so sad. I mean, you have Bitcoin, but Bitcoin is not enough. Bitcoin is not the assurance that you always have somewhere to go to that will cover you from the rain. Dino Legovich says, hedge funds are buying residential real estate big time. People need shelter. Absolutely. Neo-serfdom, says Firestarter. Yes, it's going to look like this. Aquanaut says, official tag for Twitter seems real. He sends this link. Option to sign up for Twitter Blue, the US $8 blue verification tick. Now unavailable as business woes mount. Yeah, they made it available, and then to combat impersonation, we've added an official label to some accounts. No. Elon, fire these people. They're going to start by saying it's official, and then they're going to start saying, oh, there are some people who we won't give the official label. And then it's going to be a social status signaling thing of the same kind as the current blue check mark. Meanwhile, we're still waiting for the political counts. Who will control the Senate? Maybe we'll never know. I'm refreshing the page here to get the latest, but yeah, it's not moving. 49 Republicans. We would need two more Republicans to have a good majority that can be in effect, because if we only reach 50, then Kamala Harris will be the vote splitter. As far as the House is concerned, same thing. We would need something like 9 more, I believe, or 7 more. 7 more for 218 seats to control the House. So that's where we're at, and we still don't have those counts. McCarthy's speakership hopes complicated by restive Freedom Caucus. If Republicans manage to retake control of the House of Representatives, they will do so with a very narrow margin. That complicates Kevin McCarthy's quest to become the next speaker because he will need the vote of nearly every GOP representative, including the rebellious House Freedom Caucus. Oh my God. I hope that we see someone with balls just undermining the system of mainstream politics and imposing. It's either going to be this guy, or maybe Marjorie Taylor Greene, or whatever, or it's going to be someone from the other team. What do you want? I would love someone to go scorched earth here. That would be beautiful. Based Gringo says, someone made a Google Chrome plugin that separates verified check marks and the $8 check mark. Oh my God, the leftists are withdrawing with their social status signaling in parallel apps that modify the web for you. I love it. I love it because it makes me think of Gab Dissenter, you know? Right-wingers had to make up their own parallel world with parallel commenting and so that you can see the comments of everyone. And you're going to have the leftists do the same, but instead of being commenting from the people, they're going to do it to keep the registry of their historical social status. It is so beautiful how these people, they don't even know, but they are working at the establishment of an imperialistic and mainstream and company and corporate controlled world that is elitist in nature. Based Gringo says, yeah, it's called $8 on GitHub. I really want to know the difference between those who have paid $1 million for their blue check mark and those who have paid only $8, because the $8, I'm not interested. Go Lesh says, California already has eternal renters. They are a pain. They have no connection to their property and destroy it, expect you to fix it, squat on it forever, etc. Yeah, I've talked about this with Joseph Cotto back in the days, many years ago. And I was saying a society of renters is a totally different society. They're only invested in their personal body. The rest can go down in flames. They don't care. And they don't have incentives to care about property. I'm sure it leads to criminality in the end. I'm sure 50 years down the line, you take a state that's been running a full renting policy versus one that encourages ownership, you end up with all sorts of mental disorder, health, criminality, that kind of stuff. Cameras go dark at vote counting facility in Key, Nevada County. The cameras at the vote counting facility in a Nevada county still counting midterm election votes stopped broadcasting overnight, officials said. They said they lost their connections with the camera, and they say next time we're going to make sure that the cameras work, or we're not even going to give a live stream. So here's the transparency we can give you. Oh, we're shutting it down. And then, oh, next time we won't do it because it creates expectations in people. So we're going to keep counting in the dark. That's what they are telling us. That is our last news item for tonight. One thing that I forgot to talk about yesterday. The Russians have withdrawn from Kherson. The Ukrainians are flying the EU flag. Bro, you're not the EU. Okay, they are extending the EU flag as kind of the extension of Europe reaching Kherson. Look, Kherson is this city on the river So I was surprised that Russia was trying to get it, but they did, and they got it for a while, and now they are withdrawing. So it seems that everything is stabilizing around the river, the Dnieper River being the natural separation between at the front line. People were asking me to comment on this. Well, I don't know that it means much. It was a difficult position to defend. When you go overboard across the river, you are dependent on all the bridge and stuff. Whereas if Russia goes back, they can just destroy the bridge and protect better. It's going to be very hard for the Ukrainians to go beyond Kherson. So not surprised and totally fine from a tactical standpoint. This is the last news item. I've always had my suspicions about beautiful women in the university. Seeing professors react to their question, it's clear to me that they are the subject of extreme bias, especially by maybe even by female professors, but certainly by male professors. It's like these super sexy, super intelligent woman. Now we learn that attractive female students, they get lower marks when lectures are moved online. So it may result because the teacher has a photographic memory. So Julia shows up, she's beautiful. Now when the teacher corrects the homework of Julia, he has all these pleasant images in his head that pop up. He's imagining Julia naked, and he gives a better grade. But when Julia is at home, working from home and doing the school from work, it's a little Zoom pixelated image. He can't quite see how beautiful she is, and so it influences him less. So basically, this study demonstrates that females who are beautiful are escalating the academic world better because they get unfair marks. They get better grade because the professors are biased. Aquanote says, pranks on us though. Remote learning / working removes evolutionary pressure for people to be good looking. That is correct. That would be a fine analysis to make. Absolutely. All right, guys, that is it for tonight. Go away, says JF. In the interest of fairness, I picture all my students naked when marking their work, regardless of gender. Well, go away here, taking his obligations as a fine professor of arts very seriously, being fully ethical. I think you are great because of this. Go away, because of your nobility and your justice, the justice that you bring into this world. Thank you, go away, for your service. Bye bye, everyone. I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.